squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Johannesburg, April the 16th, 10:20 p.m. In a shabby apartment building not far from the city center, four men are absorbed in a game of cards. The man in the blue suit avoids the eyes of his companions as he nervously selects another card from the pack.
What you got, Lyle?
27. Now, that's me out on bust.
Shame. Pay up then, Lyle. Match the chips on the table.
Listen, Chris, I don't have the money on me right now.
Ah, come on, Lyle. Turn the record over. Every time we play, it's the same old story. You already owe me 220 rand, which I was supposed to be getting tonight.
Chris, listen, I'm getting a check tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Your world's full of tomorrows, Lyle.
Look, if you can't afford it, don't play.
I'll pay up, don't worry. I always pay my debts.
When?
I can give you half tomorrow and the other half next week.
Oh, listen to that. He's too much, isn't he?
That's all I can do. I'm sorry.
I'll meet you at the Monegasque Bar tomorrow night, 9 o'clock sharp.
Oh, thanks, Chris. As I say, I'll give you half then.
Just be there. Now get out. Move.
Why don't you beat it out of him, Chris?
It crossed my mind. But I think he might be able to work off his debt.
Eh?
The jewelry shop on Friday night. He can drive the getaway car.
Johannesburg, April the 17th, 8:57 p.m. Chris Wright is sitting in the Monegasque bar awaiting the arrival of Lyle Foster. As he toys with the olive in his cocktail glass, his eyes are fixed on the entrance.
Can I get you an order?
No, thanks, I'm fine.
Don't worry, friend. There are plenty of fish in the sea.
I beg your pardon?
You look as though you have been stood up.
Oh, I'm not expecting my girlfriend. I'm waiting for a business associate.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. From the look on your face, I felt sure that you had some trouble with the woman, eh? Is this your friend coming now?
Yeah, that's him.
Hello there.
Oh, hi there, Lyle. Let's go and find a table and sit down.
So what line of business are you in?
Redistribution.
Oh, yes, that must be very profitable, huh?
Oh, it is. It is. Right. I don't think anyone will disturb us here. Now.
Chris, look. I'm sorry, I couldn't get the money today.
Well, we won't worry about that for the time being.
I tried to get
Lyle,
it, but then...
if you're prepared to do me one small favor, then you can pay back the money in your own time.
What do you want me to do?
Sit in a car outside a shop and wait, that's all.
Is it something crooked?
In a word, yeah.
Look, I can't afford to get involved in anything illegal. I got my job to think about.
You've also got your debts to think about, Lyle.
Can you tell me a little more?
It's more like it. On Friday night, Billy and I are going to hit a little watchmaker's shop in Hillbrow. You'll drive us there, keep a lookout, and drive us home. That shouldn't be too difficult now, should it?
I don't know.
I've had a lot of experience with this sort of thing. There's nothing to it. Believe me, Billy is an experienced professional, and so am I. All you've got to do is provide transport. What do you say?
Do I have any choice?
Not if you want to stay alive.
Did you meet your friend at the bar?
Yes.
Well, it's nice of you to drop around. I thought you might be drinking with him all night.
No. I came around to speak to you about Friday night.
Oh, I'm glad. There's a smashing film at the Bayou starting Friday. It's all about this fellow...
Jill?
Yes?
I won't be able to take you out on Friday.
Oh, no, Lyle. It's been ages since we've been out together.
There's nothing I can do. Look, I'm sorry.
What's it this time?
It's a business meeting.
You're not going gambling again, are you?
No, nothing of the kind.
You better not be, Lyle. Because if you are, we're finished.
Don't be like that, Jill. I'm telling you the truth. Really, I am.
Well, all right. But if you get into any kind of trouble, don't come running to me, Lyle. I'm sick and tired of lending you money to pay your gambling debts.
Look, I'll take you to the pictures on Saturday night, I promise.
Oh, I hate going on Saturdays. You've got to queue up for ages.
Do you want to go or don't you?
Oh, well, will you take me to dinner as well?
Yeah, and I'll buy you a 5-pound box of chocolates, all right?
Okay. You can pick me up at 6:15.
After placating his girlfriend, Lyle Foster returns to his modest bachelor apartment in Braamfontein, where he considers the possible consequences of the Friday night to come. The next 2 days pass slowly, and on the afternoon of Friday the 20th, he is summoned by Chris Wright to attend a meeting.
Come in.
Oh, good afternoon, Lyle. Nice to see you. Grab a chair and sit down.
Hello, Billy.
Lyle. Right. Now that we're all here, let me explain about tonight. This is mainly for your benefit, Lyle, so pay strict attention.
Yeah, I'm listening.
This shop's in a side street, and the owner lives on the premises. But this is not going to bother us, because we'll be in and out of there like police lightning.
Won't you make a noise breaking in?
Oh, but we're not going to break in. Billy's got a key that fits all doors, haven't you, Billy?
Right.
A little snip of the scissors in the right place, and that's his alarm bell fixed. Then we simply lift up the boodle and depart.
Leaving him poorer, but wiser.
And all you have to do, Lyle, is keep the car running. Nothing could be simpler.
When do we move?
7:30.
That's a dangerous time.
Not at all, not at all. The owner will be upstairs listening to squad cars on the radio. That's the best time to move. He never misses it. We've checked. 7:30, almost daylight robbery. Dig?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Don't be negative, Lyle. In your position, you can't afford to be.
Oh, sorry.
Now then, when and where do we meet?
Here, in an hour's time, on the dot.
Whose car am I going to use?
Well, yours. Who else's?
Now, wait a minute.
Shut up and do as you're told. I'll be back here in 1 hour.
Hillbrow, Johannesburg, Friday the 20th, 7:30 p.m. In his flat above the shop, Ivan Resnick settles down in his favorite chair with the evening paper on his lap. He switches on the radio, and the noise of the exterior traffic is muted by the sounds from the radio.
And this is the time when we kill the business.
Would you like another glass of wine?
Yes. No, thank you, my dear.
Boys and girls, mums and dads.
You know, all the time I'm reading in the paper about troubles in this world.
As the boys in blue set out from John Forster Square.
Some people are having too much money. Others are having too little. Where does it all end?
I don't know why you buy the newspapers. They only upset you.
Did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
There was a sound coming from the shop.
God, you're mentioning things. Your head's full of nonsense from the newspapers.
Don't try and tell me that I don't hear things when I do. Listen.
I hear nothing.
I'm going down to see what's going on. You wait here.
All right, if you must. But I'm telling you, you'll only tie yourself on the stairs for nothing.
Better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, Isibaris. You'll never learn to leave the world itself. We must interfere. Ah, Ivan! Ivan!
That was smart. Really smart. Oh, yes. What if the old geezer's dead?
He said it was going to be smooth. No trouble. You didn't say anything about killing.
Shut up, the pair of you. If he'd come any further, he would have recognized me.
That was no reason to shoot him. Look, I don't want to face a murder rap.
What are we going to do now?
Go home and keep quiet. We'll just have to keep cool till this blows over. Thanks to you, Chris.
For Pete's sake, you're like a couple of old women. There's not going to be any hassle.
I hope so, Chris. I hope so.
That's all I know. I heard a shot and I went down to the shop and he was lying there on the stairs.
How is she, Constable?
In a pretty bad state of shock, Sergeant.
Why don't you go through to the bedroom and lie down, Mrs. Resnick?
Yes, thank you, I fear.
Help her up, Constable.
No, please, I'll be all right. I can manage by myself.
As you wish.
How does it look down there, Sergeant?
He's dead, I'm afraid. I'm not going to touch anything till the CID arrives.
No visible signs of breaking and entering?
Yes, they must have had a key. That could indicate some inside knowledge.
That boy should be able to give us some details on that, Sergeant.
Mrs. Resnick might be able to as well, when she's feeling better.
Well, they're bold, whoever they are.
How do you mean, Constable?
Attempting a robbery with the owner on the premises, and between the hours of 7 and 8.
Not bold, Constable. Very stupid.
The two policemen await the arrival of detectives from the murder and robbery squad, who will proceed with further investigations. In another part of the city, Jill Taylor is preparing for an early night when her doorbell rings.
Who is it? Just a moment.
Hey, Jill, open up. It's Lyle. Thanks, love. Come in, Chris.
Hey, look, Lyle. I'm not really dressed to receive company. I thought I wasn't going to see you till tomorrow night.
Jill, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. This is Chris Wright.
Hello.
We just thought we might drop in for a game of cards.
You might have phoned to let me know.
Well, we just came round on the off chance.
That's very considerate of you.
Jill, why don't you just go and find the cards, eh?
You've got a nerve, Lyle. You really have.
Go on, love.
All right, but don't stay long. I want an early night.
Why did you want to come here? If you want an alibi, I can set up a better one than this. Why don't we go with Billy?
If anyone starts asking questions, this is the safest. Jill will back us up.
She better, for your sake.
I can't find the cards. I don't know where they are.
Sit down for a second, love.
Why? What's the matter?
I'd like to ask you a little favour.
Ah, here we go again. If it's money, I haven't got it,
Lyle. It's nothing to do with money.
What's it got to do with you, anyway?
Sit down, Jill, please.
All right. Let's hear it.
Well, you see, Chris and I got into a spot of bother at the bar tonight.
What sort of bother?
Well, it's nothing serious. These two fellas tried to pick a fight and we had to defend ourselves. There was a little bit of furniture broken.
So?
But it wasn't really our fault, but the manager of the place might want to press charges. For their furniture, you see.
What do you want me to do about it?
If anybody asks, will you tell them that we were here with you?
Look, Lyle, what have you been up to?
Only what I told you.
You haven't been in a fight. There's not a mark on you. Tell me the truth.
Oh, please, don't be difficult. Just do what I ask.
You've been doing something criminal. I know,
Lyle.
Look,
it's not important, lady. Forget all about it. Come on, Lyle, let's get out of here.
I'm going to ring the police.
Jill, no.
I don't want to get mixed up with gangsters.
Put that phone down.
Not on your life.
Jill, listen to me.
Hello, police?
Receiver dangles limply on its cord as the two men look down on the unconscious body of Jill Taylor. Lyle Foster shakes his head in disbelief and turns to his companion, waiting for him to speak.
I'm sorry. She asked for it.
Oh, we're really in it now. You've really got us in a mess, haven't you?
Look, this one's your fault, Lyle, not mine.
What do you mean?
Telling her that damn fool story about a fight in a bar. 10-year-old child wouldn't have believed that.
It was all I could think of at the time.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that before we came here? Oh, no. Oh, it'll be all right. She'll understand.
I made a mistake.
You made a mistake. My mistake was taking you on the job in the first place.
Yeah, well, let's not make any more. We'd better phone the police and give ourselves up.
What? Have you gone crazy?
There's nothing else we can do. We can't get out of this one.
Look, we can. If we use our heads. Just give me a moment to think.
Are we going to leave her here or what?
We can't leave her here. If she wakes up, we're for the high jump.
You're not going to kill her.
We've got no choice, Lyle. Do you want to hang? Because you will if she lives to talk.
I don't know. I just don't know anything.
I think I've got an idea. I've got an idea which might work. Listen to this.
You Lowbrow Police Station, April the 21st, 9:30 a.m. It's a sunny Saturday morning in Johannesburg, and Captain Alan Southwood of the CID looks up from his desk and casts a wistful eye at the bright yellow sunlight outside his window.
Oh, nice day for golf, Sergeant.
I wouldn't know, sir. I don't play.
Yeah, I'll teach you sometime. It's a great sport.
Thank you, sir. I'd love to learn, provided I can get away from the wife and kids for a while.
And work, of course.
That's also true. Speaking of work, sir, have you heard anything concerning last night's murder?
Nothing much so far. They found some prints last night, but they haven't been traced yet.
Nothing was heard or seen in the street?
No witnesses at all, Sergeant.
That makes things difficult.
You're telling me. Oh, a couple of people said they heard a shot, but that's all.
Maybe fingerprints will turn up for something, sir.
Let's hope so. Captain Southwood? Yes? Did he give his name? I see. Yes, I'll get out there right away. Thank you, Constable. It looks like we may have another case of homicide, Sergeant.
Sir?
A girl found dead in her flat in Bramfontein. These things never seem to happen in one. For weeks, things are quiet, and then bang.
The floodgates open.
Well, we'd better go and have a look.
Captain Southwood orders a car, and in a matter of minutes, he and Sergeant de Villiers are driving towards the apartment building in Bramfontein. Upon arrival, they are taken to a flat on the third floor by a caretaker, who then leaves them to conduct their investigations.
What do you think, Sergeant?
I'd say it was accidental death, sir.
Death by electrocution. Girl takes a bath, listens to radio, radio falls into bath, girl dies. Apparently straightforward.
What's in your mind, sir?
At the moment, nothing, Sergeant. The caretaker said he found her at 9:15.
Yeah, that's right, sir. What are you doing, sir?
Come have a look at this shelf, Sergeant. See here? The whole shelf is covered with dust except for this section.
It's the same width as the radio.
Precisely. This is where the radio's obviously stood for some time. Now tell me, Sergeant, if you were about to take a bath and you wanted to listen to the radio, would you take the trouble to move it from its usual resting place to the edge of the bath where it could easily fall in? Or would you simply switch it on to a higher volume?
I see what you mean, sir.
And on the body, a large bruise on the left-hand side of the jaw.
She could have knocked herself in the side of the bath, sir.
I don't think so, Sergeant. This has been arranged to appear like an accident, and very clumsily arranged.
What do you plan to do now, sir?
Let's take a look round the living room while we wait for the lab boys to arrive. If you touch anything, be sure to do it carefully.
Right, sir. It's a nice little flat, sir.
Yes. I don't much care for the ducks on the wall, though. Look here, Sergeant, by the telephone. A lot of pile seems to have come out of the carpet. There could have been a scuffle.
No, there's a message fallen on the floor, yes, sir. Lyle can't call till after 9. Has to meet friends at Monegasque.
Message was probably taken by the maid. Monegasque.
It's a bar in town, sir.
I think I might pop in there this evening, Sergeant.
Good evening. What would you like to drink?
I'm afraid I can't drink on duty, sir.
Duty? Oh, police, eh?
That's right.
So what can I do for you? We haven't been shelling after hours. I can tell you that much.
It's nothing like that. I just want a little information, that's all.
Information? Concerning what?
A customer of yours. A man by the name of Lyle. Mean anything?
Lyle. Lyle. Ah, wait a minute. There were two fellas in here the other night. I think one of them was called Lyle. Yeah. I got a pretty good memory for these sort of things, huh?
Can you remember any of the conversation?
Yeah, I think I can. There was one of them sitting on a stool, looking sort of sad, you know.
Yes, go on.
So I asked him if he's waiting for the chick.
Chick?
Chick, the girl.
He says no. He says he's waiting for a business associate.
Did he mention his line of business?
Yeah, sure, sure. He said he was in redistribution.
I see.
You know what sort of work that is, huh?
Yes, it's a criminal euphemism for robbery.
What?
Oh, never mind. He said anything else?
Not especially, no. His friend, he came in, and then they moved to the table over there.
They wanted to talk in private.
I think that's right, huh?
Can you describe the man, Lyle?
Lyle, I think, was the one who came in after, eh?
What time did they leave?
I don't remember.
I want you to try. This is a murder investigation.
No kidding? Who bought it?
I'm sorry, I can't follow you.
Who bought it? Who was killed?
I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to reveal that.
You play your cards close to the chest, huh?
Yes. But I wouldn't advise you to follow suit.
Captain Southwood brings his investigation to a close and returns to his office. He is about to call it a day when Sergeant de Villiers comes to see him with some fresh information.
Close the door, Sergeant.
Something's just come to light, sir. I think you should know about it.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
They found some prints in the girl's flat, sir.
Good. Anything else?
The prints are a perfect match with those found at the watchmaker's last night.
So there is a connection. I thought so.
I would never have thought so, sir. They appear to be two totally different crimes.
I questioned the barman at the Monegasque this evening. From what he told me, I gather that the men we want are responsible for both crimes. He remembers a conversation between two men, one of them named Lyle, and the word redistribution was used.
Robbery.
Right.
What do you intend to do now, sir?
The barman gave me a description of these men, which I've circulated, and a general alert's been put out.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, sir.
So am I, Sergeant.
At the instigation of Captain Southwood, the investigation gathers momentum. The ballistics experts determine the caliber of the weapon used to kill Ivan Resnick, and the fingerprint department works through the night, attempting to establish the identity of the murderer. No further information comes to hand until the Tuesday evening, when Captain Southwood receives an unexpected telephone call.
Captain Southwood?
This is the barman from the Monegasque.
Yes?
Those men you were looking for. There is one of them here now.
I see.
So what do you want me to do?
Just keep him there for another 15 minutes. Pull in over there, Sergeant.
Right, sir. What's our next move, sir?
We wait for him to come out. I want him to lead us to the other one.
There's no possibility of him slipping out the back way, sir.
There's no back entrance, Sergeant. If he wants to come out, he'll have to come this way. There he is. Fits the barman's description exactly. Green pullover the lot.
He's getting into that blue car over there, sir.
Get on his tail, Sergeant. And that's the way, Sergeant. Just keep out of sight.
He's pulling over at the curb, sir.
Pull up here.
Right, sir. Going into that basement flat.
Right. Wait till he's inside for a minute, and then we can pop in for tea. You better check your revolver, Sergeant, just in case.
Who is it?
Chris!
Oh, thanks, Billy. Evening, Lyle.
Hi. Did you get anything for the stuff?
You're not going to believe this.
Come on, tell us the worst.
420 rand.
Hey? Oh, no, an old man dies for 420 rand.
Well, let's divide it up so we can all get out of here.
What do you mean, divide it up? There's no share for you. You've still got to cover your debts.
Now, wait a minute. After what I've been through, I deserve some of that money. Who helped you arrange that accident with Joe?
Yeah, what accident? Hey, what are you two talking about?
Stay right where you are.
Please. What? Hey!
That was a very interesting conversation. Thank you very much, gentlemen. You've told us all we need to know.
Subsequent trial, William Young was found guilty of robbery and sentenced to 15 years imprisonment. The judge concluded that both Lyle Foster and Christopher Wright were guilty of robbery and murder. They both paid the supreme penalty.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.